everything just gets so muddled up and messy. And if you don't know what you're talking about, it's not going to prove well. So
yeah, nobody teaches you how to speak in court. Nobody teaches you like the way that you need to say things and how you need to present the evidence or whatever. It's like you feel like you're going to just tell your story, and that's not how it works.
You're listening to the Thriving in Chaos Project with Paulette Rigo, mediator, divorce coach, author, and founder of Better Divorce Academy. She invites you to grab a favorite beverage, find a cozy seat, soothe your soul, and take a listen. The podcast was inspired by our courageous journeys, connecting with others, having meaningful conversations, and impact through sharing our stories. In each episode, Paulette is joined by some of the most compelling experts in all things divorce and transformation. Prepare through the toughest chapters, reveal our hardships, celebrate our lessons learned, and see the future clearly. Leave feeling empowered to approach life and maintain our dignity no matter what. It's time to thrive in the chaos.
So good to see you.
It is good to see you too. Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Joanne Johnson, and I asked Paulette to be with us today for a quick interview because I think she has just such helpful information about like divorce doesn't have to be hell. And I know that my divorce personally was hell. And I am just very optimistic about sharing this information with as many people as possible, especially with the divorce rates sort of this time. So I love what you do and what you have become a part of. And I would just love to hear personally how you do, you know, when things are tough, how you do assist and what your process sort of is, and the comparison to the cost of getting divorced in court over years or a year.
Well, this could be a 9-hour conversation, Joanne. So we will just start and run with it. So first of all, those of you that know me, hey, love you all. You don't know me because Joanne's going to play this on her page later. My name is Paulette Rigo. I'm the founder of Better Divorce Academy. I'm a mediator and a certified divorce coach. I also am a corporate consultant within divorce coaching for executive employee benefits, as well as mediation services for several companies. So that is sort of what I do on a daily basis. I did not find this work, Joanne. It found me. I was quite content in my other life before this all fell in my lap. I wanted to be a journalist. I went to college for journalism, ran a ballet studio, created a yoga teacher training program. I've done a lot of crazy things with my life and a career, but this one really lassoed me, pulled me in, and the difference it's making in thousands of people's lives is why I get up in the morning. So the founder of Better Divorce Academy happened because my case is the 1%. 97% of divorces manage to stay out of trial. Hi, Belizecapes. My Belize people. I used to live in Belize for 3 years.
I live in
Boston, but I now live in the Atlanta area. So 97% of divorces end, manage to stay out of court to the level of trial, right? They don't go to trial. That's a really good statistic, right? I mean, 97%, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Hi, San Pedro. I miss you. I'm coming down soon if I can get my act together. So the 3% that do end up in trial, right? That's 3%. 1% of that 3% go to the appellate court process. Mm. And that was me. Mm-hmm. So I lived through an 8.5-year fully litigated case that included a 12-day trial that took place over 9 months. And then after that journey of getting there, there was a 4-year appellate court process. So that experience literally threw me into this world of divorce. And because my case became pretty well known, some have even said notorious or, you know, not the norm, many people, predominantly women at the time, from the work I was doing, also being a doula, a yoga teacher, trainer, kind of into macrobiotic cooking and that whole kind of transformation of my life. I also hung out with mostly young women my whole life, being in the performing arts world and modeling. So they just said, you know, like, I can't believe you're still going through this. Like, this is crazy. Why are you still going through this? And eventually the conversation would turn to, can you help me? You know, being in a marriage that is difficult, painful, dysfunctional, I don't mean to give the whole laundry list, or really just confusing, you know, it doesn't have to be horrible, but that feeling, and you've lived it, you know, that feeling of like, what the hell is going on here? What is wrong with me? Am I crazy? Like, am I just being difficult? Is it them? And it's not always the woman. I actually work with quite a few men now and couples in mediation. So, you know, but that feeling of like confusion and like, why is this so painful? Yeah. So when that starts to happen, there are those initial reactions, either Googling at 2 a.m, how to divorce, how to fix the marriage. What do I do? Do I need a lawyer? Like, what's the, you know, the list of things people Google, it's a lot at 2 a.m. So, but that's what the conversation started as, can you help me? So being who I am, the way I was raised, I was like, sure, come on over. Made a lot of coffee, poured a little bit of wine, not always at the same time, depending on the time of day, and listened to hundreds of stories. I took copious notes. I've always been a constant learner. And then through my course of my own personal experience, my attorney actually gave me the homework of taking notes so that I would keep facts. You know, everything just gets so muddled up and messy. And if you don't know what you're talking about, it's not going to prove well. So
yeah, nobody teaches you how to speak in court. Nobody teaches you like the way that you need to say things and how you need to present the evidence or whatever. It's like you feel like you're going to just tell your story, and that's not how it works.
Yeah, and nobody tells you what to wear, what not to say, what not to say, how to prepare and all that. So that's kind of my notes that I had, and also from people reaching out, became the beginning of my book, Better Divorce Blueprint. So that came out in May. It's a 397-page book that you can get on Amazon if you just privately want to learn. And there's also a companion workbook that's 197 pages because I ask a lot of questions and you really want to be able to document and keep track of everything. So that's kind of why I do what I do. But now, what does it look like? Now, there are a couple roles I play personally that is making this difference in this world. Is again, that consultant mode that I mentioned, and how revelational is the fact that corporations are realizing the impact and the effect divorce has on their employees.
Wow.
It affects their productivity. Yep. It affects their ability to be consistent.
Attendance. Everything.
Right. Everything. It affects them. So many corporations give gym memberships, health benefits, mental health benefits, but now they're realizing, oh, divorce is one of the major issues. So it's a world that's really opening up and one I'm proud of to be involved in. So it's making a difference in corporate world, not just physical health, right? But mental health too, psychological, mental, emotional, but the pragmatic part of it. So that's role one. Those of you that are in the corporate world or want to offer those benefits, reach out to me.
Yeah.
Number two is mediation. So I am a mediator, and that role affects the couple in the understanding that there are five ways to divorce. typically. There is DIY. That's called the Home Depot divorce. You know, you go down and you buy the sheetrock and the plywood and whatever you're building. I'm joking, but, and you just, you put it together yourself, right? Now, only 1%, maybe 2% of people should do that. Or I like to say eligible. Those are the people that have not been married very long, a couple years. Yeah. And maybe they don't have children.
Yep.
And they don't really have a lot of assets or debt. Yeah. They're pretty much on the same page as far as looking at the scheme of divorce and the four things that the courts care about. I'll get into that, but it's mostly legal and physical custody, child support, division of assets, and spousal support. That's all the courts really care about. Yeah. So if you're on the same page with the majority of that stuff, why the heck are you spending more money and time and anguish going to court? Don't do it. Yeah. But again, that's a small percentage of people. If you're fighting about a toothbrush and a pair of jeans, okay, you need to get on the phone call with me for an hour and we'll work that out. But yeah. So that's DIY.
Yeah.
You go down to the courthouse, fill out the petition, give the $150, $200, whatever, every town's different. I don't know the exact amount, don't hold me that. But, and there's also 50 states. We almost live in like 50 little countries when it comes to divorce in the US. And I also have clients in Canada and other locations in the world too. So again, the rules, the laws are very distinct to your particular location, but this is a generality, right? Yeah. Now, the other four methods are mediation with or without legal presence. You can do it, mediate, and then have an attorney look over the documents for both parties. A transactional attorney can process them, or you have representation there during the mediation, which is perfectly fine depending on how complex your case is. Mm-hmm. Now, if you do, don't forget you're not only paying the mediator, you're paying the attorneys. So just want to make sure you know. So that's method two. It's a little complex. I didn't mean to just oversimplify it. There's a lot to do before, and depending on the mediator, many mediators have their own process that they do, but all of us that have been trained in mediation act as a neutral party to bring the couple together to facilitate in good faith a solution, a resolution that both of those parties, A and B, are controlling. The mediator doesn't make decisions. The mediator doesn't give advice. The mediator facilitates a conversation back and forth, a little bit like a ping pong ball, to be able to let them navigate those messy waters so that they're able to do it in small incremental chunks. It's not so overwhelming having somebody kind of hold their hand through that process. So that's number two. Number three is called collaboration. Collaborative law is a different model to whether you're using a firm where it's like in the same brick and mortar building. Collaborative law doesn't have to be a firm. It could be different pieces of the puzzle. You usually make a decision, the couple, that we're going to make every effort to stay out of court and use a collaborative process. Now, each party, A and B, I call them, we have to be careful with labels now, but A and B will work, right?
It's fine.
A and Z sometimes, depending on how far apart they are, will make a decision to work with a certain attorney. And then they usually have a financial expert. They sometimes will have a residential expert with the marital home, a lending expert to come in a little bit about the mortgage piece and lending and all that, working with the CDLP, mental health practitioners. We also like to get in a co-parenting or a parenting expert, perhaps a GAL if that's needed, whatever, you know, piece of the puzzle. So you've got judicial, legal, financial, residential, mortgage, CPAs, insurance, taxes, that's the spreadsheet part of divorce, right?
Yeah.
But then you have on the other side all of the emotional, mental, psychological, spiritual, physical, sexual aspect of marriage relationships. So those are two very different worlds, and I can touch on that later. So that's the collaborative process. It's a little tricky though, if one of the parties feels it's not working and they pull out, you can't use anything and or either of the attorneys. You have to pretty much start over. So I know I'm simplifying, but that's the gist of it.
Yeah, it sounds like more of a court situation when you're bringing in all of those elements, but still you're not in court, so obviously probably a little better.
I throw out those as ideal people that you might need, not that you have to use them. So if you do not need them, they do not need to come into the conversation. Right. Yeah. So just know that it's like a Rolodex. I know that's an old school name, but you know, it's like, if you need that person, you're going to want to need them. If you don't need them, just say, it was a pleasure meeting you. You know, we don't even have children. So but maybe the case is more about I have quite a few clients that own a business together. Mm-hmm. So it isn't just deciding who gets the toaster oven and the sofa and the car and the children. It's how do we disentangle a business? Think of it as like a ball of yarn that's all tangled. Like we get a necklace with a knot in it. If you tug it, it gets tighter. So you need to kind of slowly kind of pull it apart, because when you pull, it makes it nearly impossible to disentangle. So maybe a simplistic example, but that's really how complicated it can be. So
very complicated.
The next one, number four, is arbitration. This is usually used by, well, celebrities and politicians and famous people for one very good reason. It's a private process and it keeps them out of court. And it keeps them from really having all their, you know, I hate to say dirty laundry, but, you know, stuff in the eye of the public. Because once you hit that courtroom, it's a public domain.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much, you know, hey, everybody's business. So those type of people, I mean, I think all people should have that option.
Yeah.
To keep their life private. Some people don't care, you know, public, who cares? I mean, I don't know many people that have free schedules that can just, you know, saunter into a courtroom and watch people's divorces. You know, who has that kind of time? But then just knowing that it is public is a different experience than knowing that this is a private process that we control. Now, you're a little bit at the mercy of an arbitrator. That is typically a judge that's retired or a litigator that's kind of fed up with court, and they just really know the law. They really want to facilitate a outcome, but yet it can be complicated based on how long have they been married, how many mutual assets are there as marital assets and debt. Are the children young? Are the children school aged? Are they adults? So the more complex the case, the more you really want to prepare for that. Have an arbitrator that knows your case well, in the sense of meaning, if it's business, do they have that kind of background? If it's more custody, is it that really their
background?
So they really need to pick a person that has the expertise in that realm and in that world. Now the tricky part about arbitration is the decision is final. You cannot appeal it. So if you choose to go that route, awesome. But just know, once the arbitrator makes their decision, well, that's it.
Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah. I actually know somebody who had to appeal a bunch from their divorce and ended up winning. So that's a little like, you're weighing a lot to make these decisions. Yeah.
Right. You really want to be pretty much on the same page before you make that decision. Again, it works for a certain type of person.
Sure.
You don't have to be a Hollywood movie star for it to work. I didn't mean to be, you know, sarcastic about it, but it is that type of person that really wants to keep it private.
So, yeah, for sure.
Now, last and not least is the one everybody knows about, litigation, right? Yeah. It's when person A or person B runs to an attorney, puts down a retainer. I like to think of it as a deposit, but same thing, right? It's a commitment that you are going to work with this person through the duration. Now, several people do change attorneys like their socks. So that happens too, depending on how high conflict they are and how adversarial the relationship is to between the couple and how complex it is. So litigation does not have to go all the way like my experience was. Many people are able to go litigate, but use mediation as a tool. In fact, The course are now taking advantage of the pandemic and everything going online and saying, how are we able to facilitate keeping people out of the brick and mortar building with still the formality, the rules, and you know, the protocol? I mean, we did steal the legal system from Greek and Roman days. And when I say steal, I mean, we modeled it after it. I don't know that we stole it, but we modeled it, right? So, so there's a formality to the court system. Right?
Yes.
And that was all taken from those days of the, I mean, the Greeks also invented architecture and music and lots of things, right? So not just Greek salad that we love, but court, you know?
Found litigation so frustrating. I did not like the process at all. And my divorce did go to like trial, and it just feels so, you know, it's like so hard. You cannot just say things, and it's the way that you have to framework everything. It's like, it's like basically you have to have a lawyer in order to help understand what to say or what not to say. And then it's pricey, you know?
Well, I do know a couple people that are brave that will pro se it, which means they do it themselves. Of course, everything is based on Latin. So you got to spuff up on your Latin if you're not sure what all this is. When I was so green, when I was told there was an affidavit, I said, wait, I don't know a David. Who's David? I'm not kidding. Like, I did not know. And I was like, no, it's Latin, Paulette. It's actually D-A-V-I-T. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, sorry. Anyway, that was a while ago. But there's so many other Latin terms that you need to be familiar with. So just sua sponte orders and subpoenas and like, what is that? So if you don't know, it can get messy. Right. Messy. Now, one is the plaintiff, one is the defendant. So it's a little tricky just hearing that you're the plaintiff, you're the defendant. All of a sudden, it's this contentious relationship. It's no longer just we're coming together to facilitate an outcome for the betterment of the family. No, it's all paperwork. And
it's pitted against each other. Like you are literally like trying to find the worst of the worst to explain your case somehow. I agree.
The very nature of the process is adversarial.
Yeah,
it is. And many of my friends, dear friends, are attorneys. There are two most main kind of jokes in the world: blonde jokes and attorney jokes. So I even have friends that are both. So blonde and attorneys. So those of you that are listening fall in that category. No, the point is like it's not an easy thing, and many people that go to law school, pre-law and law, you know, with the best of intentions to make the law interpreted to protect those. I see the purpose in it. There are those cases that absolutely positively must go to a litigated case to protect the rights of both parties and the children and the whole gamut, depending on the case. So there is a time and a place for that. But again, 97% of cases do not need to do that.
Wow.
It is changing. So luckily you and I, Joanne, lucky we are the, did you go to appeals?
I did not go through appeals. I ended up getting a favorable outcome, and you know, it was over when it was over, but I believe we were in court for at least a year. So,
it's stressful. Like a beach to me, but it's a horrible thing. So those are the five methods, and it's really important. That's why I also do the work as a certified divorce coach.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know what to do, how are you possibly going to make wise choices?
You're so blind in the process most of the time. And with custody and division of assets, and unfortunately in my case, there was even domestic violence. And so, you know, there's like an added layer of tension on everything. And like, you're just a stress ball 24/7 until the final hearing, you know. And I had some good female influences who helped me slightly to like stay in my house and do things to where I didn't vacate and I was able to stay with the kids and things like that. Mm-hmm. And through sort of just, you know, trying to practice better mental health practices, I was able to win the custody case more like a 70-30 versus 50-50, which everybody told me was going to happen. They're like, I don't even know why you're trying. And it horrified me because I was a victim survivor of domestic violence. And I'm like, I can't handle it. Like, okay, so you're going to tell me that this person who injured me is 100% safe to take care of these children as well. And it was really hard to hear that the whole time.
And I'm sure you had some parenting experts involved. Maybe the courts appointed a guardian ad litem, another Latin term called a GAL. And you know, passing. There's a lot of acronyms to divorce too. God, do I hate acronyms? But that's another talk. So that's why I founded Better Divorce Academy, and I call it that because you need to learn a lot. Yeah. It's a school. There's everything you need to you need to understand and learn. I didn't have a clue, and silly me. So whether I am acting as a consultant or mediator or a coach, I am playing different roles for different situations and different clients and different family dynamics. I have a very large Rolodex of experts to get the right person to the right people. I also facilitate teams if they need them. If they don't, we just don't go there. Now, much of that depends on when and why people come to me. So 70% of divorce is filed by women. I did not know that. The average amount of time women typically contemplate divorce before they tell anyone, and I mean it's an internal conversation they have with themselves of, I got to fix the marriage, it's got to be better, you know, what can I do to make
what
this
can
better?
I do?
What can I do? What can I do to fix it? What can I do to fix it? Because we are nurturers and we try to fix it. And there are some things we just can't change the family dynamics of other aspects of it. And there are 7 types of abuse. Physical and sexual are the 2 that get the press, but there's also mental, emotional, psychological, financial, and spiritual. So that can play into it too. But if people come to me at the beginning, contemplation, approaching, they're really in that thought process of determining their why, getting really clear on that, their thought process, feeling their feelings, deciding what they want, being responsible for their own actions and the role in which they may have played. It takes 2 to tango. Yes. Understanding deal breakers, how to prepare and protect yourself, honoring your values, how to tell the children, when to tell the children, what to tell the children, what not to tell the children, how to decide which of those 5 methods is right for you, how to end the marriage with dignity and grace, how to mitigate outside influences, practicing mindfulness, gathering information, evidence, budget, lawyer speak. Should I keep going? Probably not. But
I mean, but
a lot to know.
But I mean, it's just so fascinating because like the percentage of people going in don't know this. Nobody knows the list that you just rattled off, basically. And like, you know, in my heart, I was just hoping to have, even still after domestic violence or whatever, like an amicable divorce. Like, let's just get divorced. This is not working, you know, but it didn't work that way. Like, the other party had like a team of lawyers and it was like really intimidating. And they tried to, you know, scare you and intimidate you. And it's like, oh my gosh, like, how do you live with yourself sometimes? But that's my personal story.
I relate to that a little bit in the sense that people that go to law school have good intentions, but they're trained by profession, as they should be, to advocate for one party. They don't advocate for both. That's not how counselors at law work with their clients. So they do not look at the picture and say, I mean, they might personally, but not professionally, depending on the person. You know, they're saying, how can I advocate for my client? And that's what their role is. You know, it's a very different thing. Mediations are different. Now, depending on how I'm playing with coaching, there are times when I will meet with both parties. There are times when I only work with one. It's a very unique, fluid situation. And I can be a quarterback, a cheerleader, a Sherpa, a doula, a teacher, an educator, a BFF, a handholder. You know, I am a mentor, an educator, a guide, an inspirer, an empower through divorce. And it really just depends on where are you in the process. I'm also really proud to say I've seen many marriages. I am not pro-divorce. I am not pro-litigation. I'm actually remarried. I believe in marriage as a union. Yeah. You know, I'm not sure I want to call it an institution. You know, some people call it that. So, and when it works, it works. And when it doesn't, it doesn't. I've also know that some marriages need some intervention and some expert people to get in there and to help them become better parents, better spouses, and improve the dynamics of a family. It can be.
I love that, though. It's not just one way, you know, it's like you're maybe saving the marriage instead of only ending it, you know.
That's I mean, people assume that once they call Better Divorce Academy, your marriage is doomed, you know.
Yeah.
That is not true. I've actually, in the last few months, three marriages that I could remember off the top of my head. So, and I'm proud of that, you know.
Yeah.
So now if one or both parties has already made up their mind, they've checked out, we're past the contemplation phase, like we're kind of already in the middle. So there are three phases: divorce, before, during, and after. It's also an acronym for Better Divorce Academy.
Oh,
there is the before, making it better, you know, the during, the divorce, and then the after, you know, you have a whole new life to create. And it is a big responsibility. It doesn't just get handed to you on a silver platter. Here's your new life. No, you got to work for it and make it happen. And it's different for everybody. So if they're in the middle of it, right? So somebody's filed or they've checked out or what, you know, it's a unique situation. It's helping that person get through it faster, less contentiously. Making sure that they're not engaging, making things worse. I call it pouring gasoline on the fire. And then there's phase three, too, of the after. That's a tough phase for some people. Some people get through it quickly or quicker. I don't think anybody gets through it quickly, but quicker than others.
Well, depending on how it goes, if it's going smoothly, if you're happy with the outcome, maybe it's easier to, you know, move on. Definitely.
It depends on your age too.
Oh, you know, for sure.
26 and oops, you know, what was I thinking? And, you know, and you don't have kids and there's, you know, there's not a lot of muck and mire to sort out.
It's
kind of like, call it a boo-boo, you know, or parties, right? So, or, you know, you're later in life and you're really like, okay, we're staying together for the children is not all it's cracked up to be. So there are those other people that are like, they're really ready. They've been thinking about it a long time. They're just like, oh, when I'm done, I'm ready. Other people, you know, it's the runaway husband, the one that just is blindsided, the walkaway wife that just...
It's
a different situation. Those people usually have a harder time rebuilding and starting to feel confident in their own intuition, because let's face it, everything that they thought was and they trusted is gone.
Just and gone.
Totally don't know how to manage that and navigate it, because now they're like in the car by themselves and they don't even know where they're going.
Yeah.
So that roadmap, that blueprint is shattered. So helping them figure out what they know, what they don't know, or what they need to unlearn and relearn. We sometimes have a lot of myths based on, did your parents get divorced? Do you have a friend that got divorced? Did your kids get divorced? You know, gray divorce is booming. By the way, last year, we don't know 2021 yet. So 2020, there were 2.4 million divorces in the US. That's one every 13 seconds.
Wow.
And it's a 43% increase. That's high.
Well, that's because everybody was stuck together probably and they couldn't get any space.
And up until that point, it was the elephant in the living room that you could avoid because, well, he went golfing.
Yep.
She went out for dinner with her friends.
Yep.
You know, he would run to the gym. She would go and, you know, shopping. He did his thing. She did her thing. They lived kind of separately
together. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, you know, kind of like, well, we're roommates kind of thing.
Yeah.
And people typically will make decisions for that when you've got children that are, oh, they've only got 3 more years of school and we'll just suck it up and stay together. And I don't mean to make light of it because it's a common thing, but there are those people that just hold their breath a little longer. But when you're stuck in the house and you can't go golfing and you can't go get your hair done and there's no bars to go have a glass of wine with your girlfriends and forget bowling and pizza and the movies and it's gone, right? Yeah. All your excuses, your venting, your escape. There's nowhere to escape. So and then, oh boy, homeschooling hits you like, well, that's
a
right?
Oh, so God.
People who are not trained to be teachers are not only stuck in the house and trying to run their business or work from home, but now you're a principal, a guidance counselor, a gym teacher, a cafeteria, an English teacher, a math teacher, a science teacher, a foreign language teacher. You don't know what the hell you're doing, but you're trying your best. And you can see why a marriage that's already contentious might
even more
really volatile. So I do believe that that's one of the main reasons, but I also believe that it has allowed people to say to themselves, I don't want to settle. It also happened in 2001, 9/11, when everybody kind of reevaluated what was working and what wasn't working in their lives. That feeling like we could all die tomorrow, you know, that feeling of never know. And I think we all want to live with that kind of feeling of making the best quality life we can, not at the demise of your life and your career and your family, but the sense of, am I really living to my best life?
Yeah, who I want to be, with who I want to be. All
is it damaging? Is it unhealthy? What do I need to do? Either let's fix it, let's be proactive to make this marriage healthy and work so it's vibrant and good and enjoyable for everyone, right? Or being proactive to say, we've done our best. We did all the counseling, therapy, you name it, possible. And we're going to now create a plan that is healthier. Some people have a lot of roadblocks too: religious upbringing, cultural upbringings, societal upbringing, parental disapproval. You know, what will the neighbors think? And keeping up with the Joneses. And there's so much, you know, don't want to say keeping up with the Johnsons, right? But there's so many dynamics to it, Joanne, right?
Oh, believe me, I do understand completely. Yeah. And I don't want to cut you short. I feel so bad that we hopped on late, but I actually have to go pick up my kids from school.
There you go. Talk about the importance of life going on. So
yeah, life is going on.
But this to anyone, just don't hesitate.
Okay.
To see anybody struggle through divorce, it does not have to be hell.
I just so appreciate your time and your understanding, and I'm so proud of what you're doing. I mean, this wasn't happening when I first met you, and so I appreciate all of your time and your expertise. This was, like, really helpful even to me. Like, I feel so educated, even post-divorce now, like, wow. So, I mean, I do appreciate your time, and I really hope it's helpful to everybody who is watching. If, like, they have a friend or themselves are struggling through a divorce, you know, reach out for sure, because obviously I think Paulette, like, knows what she's talking about.
Unfortunately, I do. So thank you. And it's been such a pleasure, you and I, getting to meet and go and seeing your work too. So if there's anyone out there, just Better Divorce Academy, Paulette Rigo, hit me up. I will be more than happy to chat with you and see how I can best assist you and guide you. It can be better.
That's amazing. Congratulations. And and thank you again. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We'll go get your adorable children.
Yes. Okay. I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, everyone. And we have a lot of great things in plan coming up. So I look forward to seeing you again. And if you have any questions about contemplating divorce, managing divorce, planning for divorce, surviving divorce, getting through it, transforming your life on the new end, the whole new life that you can create, wherever you are in the journey, don't go it alone. It's so easy to make mistakes. Also making sure you have the right attorney, you have the right mediator, you have the right financial expert. I recommend certified divorce financial analysts and certified divorce lending professionals in the mortgage world. There's so many people that have the expertise that can help. So knowing what to do is only half the battle. You also have to know who to engage with working with. So thank you, Joanne, for reaching out and making me jump on, not making me, but encouraging me to do this anytime. It's nice to step away from the work I do. Pleasure. Talk soon.
Think you may be the next guest on the Thriving in Chaos Project podcast? Reach out to Paulette. Email her at paulette@betterdivorceacademy.com. And no matter what, keep thriving in the chaos.